Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology. Getting together once a week, three astrologers. We talk about what's going on in the sky, how we see that reflected on the earth plane. And then we take calls or emails from listeners and chat about your charts and your situations. This is Mark Wolfe in New York City, and I'm joined by...
Ann Ortley, also in New York City at my bright red desk.
And
this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota, deep in the snows and cold weather here, but beautiful starry nights.
Because it's dark there, you can see the stars, right?
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. And even here in the city, you know, you can still see a lot. The light pollution, we're at the south end of the city, so light pollution is not bad.
Yeah, and you get those nice dry winter nights. Mm-hmm. You can really see the stars. Yeah.
Especially because we've been in such a drought for so long. Even, you know, there's been some lovely little snows, but in general, it's been unusually painfully dry in this part of the country, the whole Midwest, and it makes for great sky watching, though.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. So we're back from vacation. Yay!
We're not aware of that dryness on the East Coast. We've actually had quite a bit of moisture through the whole year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In various forms.
It's been.
So
it's
hard to
realize
that there's a drought.
It's been different for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really
and
quite
it's
going to
be, right.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, you know, looking at, there was a CNN special on superstorms to come and how, you know, radically shifting the weather systems are becoming. And I think with Neptune in Pisces for another, you know, well over a decade, the issue of too much water here, not enough there is going to be a strong one.
Yeah.
And water, I mean, I see that water is the ecological issue. Water quality, water quantity for the next decade.
Yeah. Where is the water? Where is it? Where is it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And right now we're feeling it as Neptune, Chiron recently conjunct Neptune. They're still doing their dance. And Chiron is coming to conjunct Hygieia in Pisces. And there's a lot, I think, this winter about what makes us aware of how our psychic boundaries and our physical boundaries interrelate. You know, how do we keep up healthy psychic and physical boundaries and psychological boundaries, not block people out, but keep a good, what the Chinese used to call the jade screen, your immune system. Your immune system to icky vibes, to crazy people. And to germs, I think it's going
to. Well, we found a way to play that out. This is largely around the Northeast, and that's fracking.
Ah, that's true. It's becoming
so
more.
Found a way to mess up our water supply.
Right, mess up your water supply, and the image is breaking down barriers. Isn't that interesting? That, you know, that's kind of breaking apart the foundations so everything leaks into everything else.
Yep.
A very interesting metaphor there.
Yeah,
it is. That is awful.
Mm-hmm. The scary metaphor.
Fracking always sounds to me like a swear word from Battlestar Galactica, you know.
Yeah, right.
It's
like... Well, it sees what you, wait till you see how your water catches on fire. They have all those pictures of the methane in Pennsylvania where they can light their water. And the first time I saw that, I thought this has got to be like a fake video, you know. And then it's not, you know. And it's like you really want this stuff in your drinking water? What's going to do to your insides? Just
when
for some
gasoline. Neptune can also be illusion and delusion and attempting to delude people.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a representative speaking on Amy Goodman trying to get away with saying, there's no scientific proof, and he was putting it out, there's no scientific proof that fracking is bad. And someone pointed out, that's because every attempt at doing a long-term scientific study on fracking has been stopped. There is no scientific study proving it's safe either.
Mm-hmm.
But that way they can say, there's no scientific evidence that it's a problem.
That it's a problem. Let us
so that's another issue we can see. You know, there's leaky boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot of
deception,
you know,
and
PR there.
Yeah,
deception.
Basically,
how do we pierce through that when someone's trying to put a shine on us to notice that, whether it's the fracking company or an ex-girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
How do we kind of peer through the truth and try to and come to know our own truth and trust our own intuition on these things and keep exploring until we have some actual evidence?
Right.
And it's interesting the way that Neptune operates too, because Neptune operates often by way of deception and by things just disappearing and just, you know, the kind of magic.
Mm-hmm.
It's a magician's sort of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So with fracking, it's like, you know, you dump these toxic chemicals into the ground in one place, and then they mysteriously appear somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
like in your bathtub. You know, how did it get here?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The magic of movement.
Wild.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it's a magic trick gone wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
the lady got sawed in half, you know.
And sure enough, two halves.
Two halves. Right?
Oops.
I guess she's dead now. Okay.
Yeah.
We don't really know how to fix
one.
This. Yeah.
It's
a little scary. Yeah.
Well, it is beautiful to watch. You know, I'm looking at the aspects, the politics right now around honoring the earth and honoring the feminine. I'm wondering where that's coming from in the charts. We know that with Uranus in Aries square Pluto, there's one political revolution after another, and in places where we least expect it. And watching what's going on in Canada with the Idle No More movement, I don't know if you've been paying attention to it, but you can go to idlenomore.ca for Canada, and it's you know, one of the Mohawk elders is a woman is on a hunger strike because of the recent political changes that they've been going through in Canada to take away some of the rights of Indigenous people, which will also some of the rights for the Indigenous people to protect their land and allow the government to run pipelines through lakes and things like this, and through and across territory, and the it's become the flashpoint, and there's been, you know, flash mob round dances all over the country, walks, intense but peaceful political movement, and intense pressure to get the government to talk to them directly. And it's happening all through here in Indian country. We've got a flash mob round dance of about 300 Native people down at Mall of America and at Global Traders, and there's a big one coming next week in front of the State House in New Mexico to put pressure on to do this, which is a very exciting change. I'm seeing that mirrored in India with all of the revolution in response to the woman that was raped. That's become, again, the martyr, the flashpoint martyr there. And the protests, you know, women have been unable to really break the barrier and stand up for women's rights, even in a country that's becoming so progressive. And this seems to be the flash turning point. There was a beautiful protest, I think it was in Bangalore, where there are over 500 people playing guitar together, men and women, and they were playing Imagine by John Lennon as a protest.
Mm.
I mean, it's beautiful, creative. It's like time to dance the revolution.
Right. Do it in another
beautiful
way.
Beautiful, creative approaches.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I love the flash mobs. I have to say they're one of my favorite things. You know, a group of people coming together and kind of coordinating across the space.
Mm-hmm.
I think the feminine rising is a couple things. It's the Pluto is a feminine sign. We often think of it as a masculine. But I think when we're looking at the dark feminine, it can certainly be a Hecate energy.
Right.
And then we also, Ceres right now is out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
So the feminine is a little pissed off, which is always.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, when your mother was mad, you always, everybody kind of hid, you know. So
yeah.
I think that that energy is very strong now.
And what did you say about Eris going?
An Eris station.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, Eris station's tomorrow.
And she's, the audience, Eris is an asteroid of what?
Nope, she's a recently discovered dwarf planet. So she's one of the ones, she's the one that got Pluto demoted by through trickery, and she's Mars's sister, and she sows discord. So Mike Brown, the guy who, you know, when you discover something out there, you get to name it, and he had found it, and he nicknamed it Xena, a warrior goddess, and then they got in trouble for that, and then she was very shiny, so they thought she was bigger than Pluto, which meant that they were going to keep discovering these things bigger than Pluto and have to keep redefining the solar system. So they decided instead to have like a secret vote on the conference that she was named at, and they demoted Pluto. They told the people that wanted to demote Pluto to stay behind for the secret vote, and the people did, and they voted to demote Pluto. And if you've ever been at a conference that last day, you know, if you know that, if you know there's going to be a secret vote, you stay, and if you don't, you leave, and then you find out Pluto got demoted while you, because you left. And you didn't know you had to stay and vote. So it was very, actually very controversial, because she's kind of a controversial girl. She started the Trojan War with the apples. She's like the woman with a little bit of a chip on her shoulder. And she sows discord. And so really, since she's been discovered, I mean, I think it's a lot of the anonymous hate conversation on the internet. It's a lot of the slamming and, you know, just the... You know, the totalitarian kind of arguments where it's an all or nothing, it's not negotiable anymore. It's just, it's either this or that. And,
well,
and there's actually no win.
There's no win. It's like you can't negotiate. You have to kind of, you know, you have to stomp them to death kind of thing, rather than say, okay, can we agree to disagree? Can we find some common ground? And so really, since she's been discovered in 2006, I just think the level of arguments have kind of gone up. But, you know, whenever we discover...
Why did they want to name a planet after that, after Strife? You know?
I know. Well, it's, you know, if you're going to pick some women, Mike, it's great you're putting women up there, but make some nice ones, you know. They didn't name her Temperance or Iris, you know. Huh?
But it is true that it's been amazingly how powerful those strange namings have been to the effect of those planets.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when they named Sedna, the ocean goddess, that's when we had the tsunami. And right after she was named, we had the tsunami in Indonesia to remind you of how powerful the ocean. I mean, obviously we've had tsunamis before, but, you know, the planet kind of goes, okay, I'm going to show you what I can do now. And we become conscious and aware of it. And certainly there's a lot more conversations about the ocean.
I used to think they could have gone for a Harmonia, you know?
Yeah, no, they didn't do Harmonia. They didn't do Temperance. They didn't do Iris. There's a lot of nice goddesses out there. They picked a really mean one, you know? So,
that fits with the planet that was discovered while Uranus in Aries was squared Pluto in Capricorn. And... You know, these two, I talked about, and it can be done different ways. We talked about these two revolutions that are going on because of a pissed female.
A pissed female, yeah. Or a hurt female that's getting revenge, or, you know, people are speaking for revenge in her name, yeah.
Right.
So
Or change.
Yeah, change in her name, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's an angry feminine energy, but it's, you know, I think that's part of it. And it, the angry feminine, you know, there was an article last week, I think, on the, you know, the women in the Senate. You know, there's like a bunch of them this now. And they had a picture of them all, and it was like, wow, here we are, there's a bunch of us, you know. And one of them was saying, I remember when I was the only one, you know, and it's kind of like, yeah, the changes come, but I think it's a big shift for all of us in terms of how we get there. So, but anyway, she's stopping. So whenever a planet stops, we notice it. And so she's stopping tomorrow, one in the afternoon, but the 4 or 5 days before, which means last week on the 1st, and through next Monday, we feel the energy because she's sitting at the degree of her station. So it kind of amps up the argumentative, crabby, cranky place that we can find ourselves. So I know, like, you know, I just kind of was like today, rah, 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 rah. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, just deal with it, Anne. Don't be crabby. But I think it generally makes us a little more cranky. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And she's at 21, so she's also squaring the new moon that we have on Friday. And the Eusebian image for that is a general accepting defeat graciously. So it's an interesting imagery. So I think on some level we may be finding we're defeated some places and say, ah, the defeat. But, of course, accepting defeat, if you're a general on some level, you know, you lead people and they follow you through war. And then when you say, okay, we're done, you know, it's time for us to stop now. And it's a good process, you know. So Eris at 21 squares the degree of the full of the new moon. So,
and that's 21 what?
21. She's a 21 Aries, and the new moon's a 21 Capricorn.
And Eris in Aries by there is, you know, she's not a quiet, laid-back Aries.
No, she's pretty feisty.
And this is interesting that it's happening while Saturn is squaring Mars.
Yes.
That we have, and they're exactly squared tonight at 10 to 10, fixed signs.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that they are on my parents. My father was 10 Scorpio, as is Saturn, and my mother was 10 Aquarius, as is Mars. So I know this square. And this is, you know, really, it's productive, but I remember they had the cartoon on there hanging up, and the only cartoon they had hanging in the kitchen was a sign that says, one nice person and one old grump live here, you know, without saying which one was which, that it's, you know, I agree to disagree, and a kind of a pleasant camaraderie that goes nowhere in solving the question. I think they always voted in a way that canceled each other's votes out. That was the sort of relationship they had. But they were good counterbalance to each other. And it's interesting, I see the Saturn-Mars square here as, you know, the Mars in Aquarius is so, you know, getting, it's the group activity, it's the big marches, it's the part of us that wants to be part of society and out there. And Mars and Saturn is Scorpio. You know, it's been in for a few months. It's going to be in for, you know, 2 years, 2.5. And Mars and Saturn and Scorpio calls us into some really deep personal work.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like that it's speaking of, you know, that it can feel like that squares always ask us to choose. Do I do my own personal homework and spend my time by myself? Or do I get out there and get involved and get in the flow of things and join groups and make changes that way? Or do I come back to myself and do my own personal work with just myself and my beloveds? Or do I get out there back and forth? And it can be generational gap between the extroverts and the introverts, or between the young and the old. And that fixed sign says, no, we are balanced. We are each other's medicine. And if we can hold hands, then we can get more done together. But it can feel like that this week. There's some pressure on our extrovert and introvert sides to be more extreme and to not support each other.
Right. And Capricorn moon is a serious moon. It always has that serious
quality. That Capricorn new moon coming up.
Yeah, the Capricorn new moon.
Mm-hmm.
And it has that huge finger of God, too, in the health.
Yeah.
It's in the health houses, too. So they were making a lot of noise about the flu season really kicking up now, too.
Oh, it's been no fun.
Yeah.
Seeing it go, but the I've also seen that new moon in Capricorn coming up, you know, a lot of the recent Sun-Pluto conjunction, last couple of days it's been a Mercury-Pluto conjunction. You know, there's, even though we're looking to a new year, we've been doing a lot of introspection, especially around what's the nature of our work and what do we do in the next year. You know, and it, I think the new moon in Capricorn says, you know, yeah, keep reviewing through Friday. And on Friday and next weekend, you know, set yourself some goals for the next year. Set yourself some clear goals about where do you want to move forward in your work and your process in the year ahead. Mark, how do you see it?
The Mars and Pluto?
Yeah, the new moon in Capricorn.
The Sun and Mercury and Pluto. And, oh, the new moon in
yeah.
Capricorn. Yeah, I think it plays into the this whole business with Capricorn that mm-hmm. we've been feeling. And whenever, you know, the new moon in Capricorn comes every year at this time, and it is a being responsible for how we achieve things. So there's a reassessment that goes on. And, of course, it's right after all the holidays with the celebrations and parties and so on. And Capricorn says, okay, you've had your fun. Now what about the next 20 years? It doesn't, you know, it's like you had fun for 20 days. Now it's time to get serious and tell us who you are and who you're going to be. And, you know, so we do get that. But I think having all this energy moving into Capricorn now and having the Uranus-Pluto square going on the whole time, and now with the Saturn sextile Pluto, Pluto being in Capricorn, and Saturn in Scorpio, so they're in mutual reception, that just brings in, you know, all the more of that Capricorn kind of energy, because the two of those, the Saturn and Pluto, are really kind of in cahoots in a Capricorn sort of way. So I think we're all feeling, you know, at a very deep level, I do need to pull myself together now. Because if I don't do it, nobody will.
Right. And if I don't do it now, when am I going to do it?
Right.
If not now, when? Right.
Yeah. And I think it's accurate. So.
Yeah, we've still got a couple more years where we're going to ask ourselves that on a regular basis about many different things.
Right.
But, and it's pretty intense that way.
Right. So you might as well.
Do we have anybody on the line?
We did, and I'll put out the phone number. I don't know if they're still there or not, but we do have people on the line. And the phone, I'm not even going to put the phone number out because we got enough people that we're not going to get through them all. So we'll pick a person. Here we go. Hopefully. Mm-hmm. Hello, 928. You're on the air. Can you hear me? 380. 928-380.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Can we help?
Hi. My name's Holly. How are you?
Good, Holly. How are you?
Hi, Holly. I'm doing great. My birth date is 12/24/1970.
Mm-hmm.
And I was born at 5:45 a.m.
Okay.
Morristown, New Jersey, in Morris County.
And
as opposed to Middlesex County.
Right.
I love solar fire. Okay. So, Holly, what's your question?
So, I have been having an interesting, tough time financially for the past few years, and I'm living in Phoenix now. I'm not on the East Coast anymore. But I'm just calling to see, like, how my financial situation is going, and also just sort of career-wise, I've been working on a few projects, and, like, job-wise, not doing so great, just, like, regular work.
Of course you're not right now. Hang in there, but what's going on? And what's the nature of your work?
It's creative. I write, and I also am a yoga instructor, and I'm pretty much an artist in general. But I teach.
Because Pluto's coming up to your Mercury, and Saturn is sitting right on your Mars.
Yeah.
And Saturn on the Mars is a kind of a tough time. It's not terrible. And you're coming up to Saturn opposed that Saturn. You know, you're born with Saturn opposed that whole lineup in your chart. Mars, Moon, Sun, Venus, and Jupiter all are technically opposed Saturn. So you've the sense of restraint around you know, various issues in your life is familiar to you. So Saturn is coming to conjunct all of that and bring up any place in you that believes the family training that you can't do something. The reality police are like speaking loud in your head saying, oh, you can't do that.
Right.
And you're growing up this next level by handling it and by working through it. But you've got to walk, listen to those voice and go, thank you for sharing, reality police. I'm going to step forward. And, you know, not let it shut you down. It will be like working with, like painting with a restricted palette for a while
right.
with Saturn on your Mars. You can't do what you want. But that doesn't
okay.
mean, but you're learning the discipline to do something that you do want in the long run. It doesn't mean you can't, you have to go be a waitress and give up all your creative stuff. But it may mean you have to do what you have to do to help you support yourself through this narrow channels. But you're being asked to actually refine your craft rather than give up on it. And
that,
Pluto to
yeah,
the,
it sort of feels like that.
Yeah. And Pluto to the Mercury, you want to think you may be really dealing with depression, which I don't think is foreign to you. I think you've been,
right.
you know, working around depression and how to work through depression. You know, I think it's a lifelong issue for you. And the depression can be a creative place, like down in the depths you get to all that Scorpio juice. But Pluto on your Mercury may be, you know, longing to go back to school, to study something more in depth than you have now. Mark and Ann, what do you see?
Well, I think you're back to 83, too. So when you were like 13, 14, you made a lot of decisions about your life. And there's a lot of change with Saturn going through that patch of Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be working on it this year, next year. So back to 83, you were 13, and you kind of had a vision of what you wanted to do. And now he's in the house saying, so what's your vision? What's your dream? You know, where's your dream?
Okay.
And part of what happens with your chart is because there's so many squares in it, you have to recognize it lives in really a state of dynamic tension. And if we kind of can think of the dynamic tension as, okay, let me leverage it. You know, the image I get with your chart is it's kind of like it gets a little ping pong ball-y. And
mm-hmm.
so it's like flying from one end of the chart to the other and going, okay, now I did that. I did my Sun. Now let me go do my Pluto. Okay, I did my Mars, Venus, Mercury. I did my Mars, Moon, Venus. Now let me go do my Saturn. I did my Saturn. Now let me go do my creative. So if you can think of it with the chart with as many oppositions and T-squares as you have in your chart, one of the things that we want to do is say, okay, where's the easy flowing? And basically, I would try and do every planet every day. I would,
okay.
you know, like think of them all as people and that you have this kind of Greek chorus in your chart and everybody gets their turn and then you have to say to the ones that are a little naggy or a little difficult, you have to say, okay, you've had your turn now. Now it's the other person's turn and kind of move them along because they can get a little stuck and frozen as opposed
right.
to flowing, right? Mark, what do you see?
Yeah, and, you know, there is a certain level of responsibility that you just always need to accept. You know, that's why you're a Capricorn. And you have your North Node in Aquarius also. And, you know, there's a real tendency to want to just have things to be recognized, to already be recognized, and, you know, have things, you know, the party is ready to happen or something. And, in fact, it's more accurate that you need to keep at the work. There's really no resting, or, you know, there can be, but it doesn't go anywhere, and you end up feeling empty.
Mm-hmm.
So don't shy away from the work and doing the work, and with the Pluto coming to conjunct your natal Mercury, you do have to be careful of how you're using your mind and really where your mind is dwelling. And you'll have a tendency for your creative thought. So nothing wrong with that, but be very conscious of what kind of obsession it is and make it be positive one.
Yeah, you know, really working affirmations, really working kind of really focusing your mind quality. Because it is, you do have planets on the point of fame, so you can be known for your work. So it's definitely a chart that wants to be recognized, too. So it's about giving it permission, too. So, but the British lady spoken, so we have to hang up.
Thanks very much.
I'm not sure the audience can hear it, but
we hear the
British
lady
that at the end of it that always warns us we only have 10 seconds.
Yeah, and she did it a few minutes ago.
So it's time for us to go.
So Ann Ortley signing off.
Heather Rowan Robbins signing off.
And Mark Wall signing off. Thanks, and we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wonderful. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.